thoughts of high school tend to make even veteran homeschoolers shake in their boots. Scary memories about confusion in algebra class and dissecting frogs make you wonder if you can really do this. In this exciting workshop, Melanie Young will help you figure out what your students need to take, how to do the classes you're not so sure about, and what records you need to keep. You'll learn how to plan it, how to do it, and even how to tell the rest of the world with a top-notch transcript. This is a live conference recording. The title is Homeschooling High School and Transcripts, Getting It Done and Getting It Down.
First of all, I am Melanie Young, and I have 7 children, 6 boys and 1 little girl, who I have homeschooled from the beginning. And that's our first graduate. He graduated this year, and so I've been through this. I want to talk to you about that. This is not just theory. When I say you can do it, I really know you can do it because we did it. I'd like for us to pray for the Lord's blessing in this session before we start. If you're not a Christian in this session, I hope that you won't be offended, but I need help this morning, so I'm going to ask for it. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to meet together. I thank you for the privilege of teaching our own children, Lord, and of discipling our children and teaching them what's important. Father, I pray that you would encourage us today. I pray that you would give these parents vision to know what you would have them to do with their children. I pray, Lord, that I would speak to them what you want them to hear and nothing more. We ask for your blessing in this session. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okie doke. There are only 2 things you need to know about homeschooling high school. Are you ready? Okay. The first one is, you can do it. Just get that through your head right now. I know homeschooling high school makes even experienced homeschoolers go okay, but you can do it. The second thing you need to know is that you start backwards. What? What I mean by that is, first of all, you can do it. There is so much available to help you that it is your fault if you don't get help. We're going to talk about some of the resources available to help you. We're going to talk about some of the information that you can get. Really, honestly, this is something that ordinary people can do and can do successfully and can do in a way that their children bless them and thank them for it. Okay? The other thing you need to know is to start backwards. And what I mean by that is you need to look forward to the end and then work back from there. Where do you want your student to end up? Now, that's not going to be the same answer for everybody in here. You know, when I was in school, I went to North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics. We were all headed the same place. We were all headed to the same kind of college, the same kind of majors. I didn't really even know anybody that was headed a different direction. But we've got to realize that homeschoolers are a vast population of people. And there are parents in here whose children will start businesses straight out of high school. There are parents in here whose daughters want to do ministry when they graduate from high school. There are parents in here whose kids will go to elite Ivy League schools. There are parents in here whose children will go to a community college and then finish up at a 4-year college. There's parents in here whose sons will go, or daughters will go work in a factory. And so you need to figure out where you want to end up and work backwards from there. There's so many possibilities. There's possibilities for the home and marketplace. Work, apprenticeship, being a homemaker, ministry, having your own business. There's possibilities in the military, enlisting in the military, going ROTC and becoming an officer after you get out of college, going to a military academy. JCHE, one of our JCHE students is going to West Point this year. He's going through the beast right now. He's in basic at West Point. Well, they don't call it basic there. And there's the university, community college, 4-year colleges, selective colleges, liberal arts colleges, technical universities, elite colleges. There's so many possibilities. I know you're thinking, but I don't know. I don't know where my kids headed. Well, it's time to start thinking about that. It really is. You need to look at your child's abilities, their desires, what they're interested in, and you need to start thinking about where is it likely this child is headed? Where could he head? Because you know what? An 8th grader does not have the wisdom to know where they're headed yet, do they? But you can look and say, you know what? this child faints at the sight of blood. They're probably not going to medical school. You know, you can look and you can say, this child's been taking things apart since he was little, but he hates academics. You know, he might be a master machinist. You know, you need to start thinking about your child's desires and abilities and talking to them. And finding out what they're interested in, giving them possibilities to look at. Now, I'm going to caution you here, don't limit them too much. Because life changes. And it's important to realize that you, if you're a properly registered homeschooler, that you are a private school. And you are the administrator. And that means you set the graduation requirements for your school. I would recommend that you keep those, that you at least make sure that you include the basics. So that if your son who says, when I turn 18, I'm never opening a book again as long as I live, well, after he enlists and he goes and fights in Iraq for a couple of years, he may decide, you know what, I would sure rather be an officer telling people what to do than the guy digging the trenches. And so then he wants to go to school. You need to make sure he has a basic high school education. Even if he's not academically oriented at all, you don't want to skip literature, you know, entirely. You want to make sure he's got the basics, okay? And there are some fantastic brochures over there. HSLDA sends a bunch of brochures. There's one in particular that says a four-year plan for high school that shows you what a plan for a child who's planning to go into the workforce after high school might look like. One who's planning to go to a community college or a basic four-year college, a rigorous one for a kid that is going to a selective college or elite college, what those different programs might look like. Tremendously helpful. Everybody needs to get one. You know, that child who has his own lawn business and he's really making more money than you do when he's 18, and I know some kids like that. You know, in fact, my cousin had a web business. And he was completely self-sufficient, paid his own way to Stanford. And you know, there are kids that have their own business, and they say, I'm going to work in my business when I graduate. But one day he might want an MBA. You've got to make sure that he's got the basic math, basic literature, basic science that he needs, whether he likes it or not. Now, you also don't want to forget the life skills that you want your children to enter life with. I think this is one of the big hazards. There's room, come on in. I think that's one of the big hazards of public education, because we think they're taking care of my child's education. And we forget they're not teaching them about finances. They're not teaching them about home repair. You know, and so I think that was one of the really cool things about designing home school for us. It's like the scales fell from our eyes, and we realized it's our job to prepare our children for life. And so think about what you want them to know. You know, you want them to be financially savvy. You want them to be able to handle their finances. Get them a checkbook while they're in high school. Teach them how to handle it. Teach them about debt. Teach them about credit cards. John has a credit card. He knows that if he doesn't pay off every month, it's gone. And so, you know, you need to prepare your children for life in areas beyond what we think of. Housekeeping, mothering. You know, aren't there things about mothering you want to pass on to your sons and daughters, about mothering and fathering? You know, fixing cars, doing home repairs, that sounds pretty obvious, and you're not going to ever find that on the transcript in most cases. Although, you know, if a child decides to buy a junker and completely repair the car, I'd probably give him a credit for automotive repair. You know? But those may never make it to the transcript. They're really just about as important as the academic things that do. Because their life skills, and an awful lot of kids today are graduating from high school with no life skills. You know, have you ever driven through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and the computer doesn't work right to tell them how much change, and they have no idea how to make change for a dollar? This is scary. You know, they need those life skills. Now, you need to look at what is required for where you want them to end up, okay? For the home and marketplace, you need to look at what work skills they're going to need. You know, if they are, and you may want to tell me, I need a few more chairs, okay? If they are going to work in that lawn business, you need to find them a master gardener to work with. You know, they may want to do a course at the community college in horticulture. You know, give them the skills that they need to succeed in what they want to do. They may want to study business and how to grow their business and marketing. They need interview skills if they're going into the workplace, marketplace straight out of high school. They need to know how to present themselves. You need to practice interviewing with them. They may need accounting and other specialized courses. You want to get them shadowing, and this is true with whatever you're thinking, whatever direction you're thinking, you want to get them to shadow some people in those career fields, you know, follow them around for a day or two, you know, so they can see what it's like. Because you know what? I decided I wanted to be an engineer. Do you know why? Because I read science fiction a lot, and I thought, oh, well, you know, engineers are going to be the wave of the future. They're the ones that are going to get us to the stars. And I hated engineering when I got to doing it. It was boring, and it was inside, and it was in a cubicle, and you just looked at this screen all day, and I thought, oh, save me. And so we need to give them a realistic idea. Now, some of my friends loved engineering. You need to give them a realistic idea of what these occupations do day to day. Once they've shadowed, they've got an idea, I liked this, I didn't like that. You need to get them internships, short-term interactions. You need to get them apprenticeships. If they go through an internship, like they may work for several weeks or months for someone, and they really, really like it, if they're going straight into the workplace or the marketplace, maybe time for an apprenticeship, something where you agree, I'm going to work for you for a couple of years, I'm going to learn your business. The son of one of my friends up in Roanoke Rapids, did that. He shadowed a guy who had a locksmith business who worked. He was in his charge. Pretty soon he was interning with him. And then they worked out a deal, and the fellow is passing the business on to him. He's been working with him a number of years. He's made him a partner. And so this young man at 22 is about to become the owner of his own business. Very successful business. And so, you know, you work into those things slowly and gradually by real-world experience. And, you know, that's something that's so cool about homeschooling. If someone says, I love filmmaking. I want to make a film. Well, you can take January off and make a film. And you can do the work in June. You have freedom. And that gives us so much more possibilities in the career realm to get experience that is just really generally not available to kids in high school. John interned at the John Locke Foundation this past year. You know, had a tremendous opportunity to work with economists. He wants to major in economics and politics. What better place than John Locke Foundation for conservatives? And so, you know, it was a fascinating opportunity for him to work one-on-one with people who were doing what he wanted to do and see if that's really what I want to do. He couldn't have done that if he were in school because he left at lunchtime every Monday and went over there. Now for the military, what kind of things are you going to need to look, requirements you're going to look at? Well, there's several different options if your child's interested in a military career. You can enlist, and we have several students in JCHU who enlisted this year. I want to caution you, though. Do not believe everything the recruiters say. Recruiters in our area lie. Now, I say that very cautiously, but if you know any of them personally, they will tell you the same thing. They lie. Because they get bonuses based on how long your child enlists for. And so there's a lot of pressure for them to say, oh, you've got to enlist for 6 years or you're not going to get into a decent field. That's not true. You know, your training is based on your abilities in the military and on their needs, whether you enlist for 3 years or 6 years. And so make sure that if your child's interested in the military, particularly enlisting, that they talk to someone who was an enlisted man and they talk to someone who was an officer and that they have the real picture, and that may be the perfect career for them, but you want them to go into it with their eyes open. And you want them to get the best deal they can from the recruiter without being fooled. Other options are to go ROTC. A lot of people don't realize that many people get their college education paid for by going into ROTC. When they graduate, they're military officers, and they usually have a 4-year commitment after that, to stay in the military 4 years after college. But often it'll pay for your entire college education. And so ROTC is another option. The military academies are another option, like West Point, Annapolis Air Force Academy. What do you need to go into the military? You need a solid high school preparation. You need to get the true picture. Physical fitness is essential. If you're overweight, if you're out of shape, the military's a miserable place for you because they have standards, and they're going to weigh you in, and they're going to say, you're too fat, you're on the fat boy program. You're out here 5:30 a.m. every morning running 3 miles. So you want to make sure that they're physically fit if that's something they're interested in. Develop personal and team sports. The military academies and the military recruiters look very much at their sports activities. As you know, we have contact football, we have flag football, we have lots of opportunities in our area for boys and girls to get involved in sports. And so you want to develop that. Leadership is essential for officer candidates. You know, they want to see leadership. And it's not always what you picture. It may be in the history club. It may be in 4-H. It may be he's a volunteer fireman. But they want to see some kind of leadership experience for officers. And for the military academies, okay, if they're going into ROTC, you also want to follow the advice for heading to a four-year college, because that's where you go through ROTC. If your child is interested in the military academies like West Point, Air Force Academy, please get in touch with us, because we have people in our area that have gone that route, been very successful. But you need to follow the advice for the selective colleges and elite colleges, because military academies are very selective, hard to get into. Now, lots of homeschool kids do. There are at least three from North Carolina going to West Point this year, homeschool students. So there are a lot of homeschoolers get into the military academies. Now, what about if they're college bound? Well, you need to look at the entrance requirements. Now, this is really hard. I remember being, when John was 8th, 9th grade, I remember looking and thinking, I don't have any idea. I don't know where he's going to want to do. I don't know what he's going to want to major in. Well, just guess. Look at some possibilities. Look at what are the requirements for some of the elite schools. He may be headed that way. What are the requirements for some of the selective schools, the top-ranked schools? U.S. News and World Report's ranking of colleges is bizarre in some ways. The things that they think are important to an education are not necessarily important to an education. But you can get an idea of how hard it is to get into a school by looking at that. You know, Google the college websites and search admissions requirements, entrance requirements, and look at your state colleges, look at your community college. What do they want to see? Okay? Now, for example, the University of North Carolina system requirements are 4 units of English grammar, composition, and literature. You know, that may be grammar composition, it may be English literature, it might be European literature, it might be world literature, it might be Chinese literature. You know, in translation, you know, you can be creative, it might be great books in your family. You can be creative. They want to see 4 basic English language courses that involve some literature and involve some composition. 2 units of foreign language, and an awful lot of colleges are looking for 3 now. And foreign language can be anything from sign language to Mandarin to Spanish to German. Whatever your family wants to study is okay. 4 units of math. Now, this is something that has changed in the past few years, and this is kind of complicated, is that you want Algebra 1 and Algebra 2, and then you need either geometry and a unit past that for which Algebra 2 is a prerequisite, or 2 classes for which Algebra 2 is a prerequisite. Now, what does that mean? That means, like, if you're in the Saxon program, you go Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Advanced Math Calculus. You know, that final class can be pre-calculus, it can be calculus, it can be statistics. There's a couple of other options which are not as well known, but generally it's going to be something like that. And I know that sounds really scary. I mean, now, confession time. I told you I went to college in engineering. I had, you know, 3 calculus classes and differential equations, and calculus gives me the hives. I am no good at it. Total panic. I can say this because he's been through it now. I didn't tell him that beforehand. It gives me the hives. But you know what? There are so many. Saxon calculus is very understandable and very self-teaching. There are DVDs available where a teacher will explain it to your kid. There are tutors available. You can send them to community college. There's a lot of options to get that high-level math. Don't panic. 3 units of science, a biological, a physical, like chemistry, physics, physical science, and at least 1 lab course. I recommend that all your sciences be lab courses. 2 units of social studies, of which 1 must be U.S. history. Now, what's a unit or a credit? A unit or a credit means basically a year's worth of high school work in 1 subject. But how do you know what that is? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. They're also going to require SAT or ACT scores in most cases. You want to take the PSAT in 10th grade for practice. It won't count for anything. In the 11th grade, it counts toward the National Merit Program, which can help you get other scholarships. National Merit Scholarship is very weeny, it's very small. But it can help you get other scholarships. But you want to take the PSAT in the 10th, 11th grade. I use the ACT, which is one of the college admissions tests, for our annual testing starting about 9th grade. Because the SAT, at least until the, this is going to change, but the SAT, when you send it to a college, sends all the scores you've ever done. The ACT, you choose which score to send. So it doesn't hurt you to take the ACT a bunch of times. And so I use that just so they can get used to the idea of taking a college entrance exam and become comfortable with it. You want to take both of them in the junior year for practice and to see which one is best, the ACT or the SAT, because some kids score much better on the ACT, some score much better on the SAT. So you want to give them a chance to do both and see which one. And then whichever one they do best, then you hit some prep books really hard and work hard. We're going to talk about that in the next session about getting to college so they can score their very best on the last time they take it. And also develop some relationships in the community that will get you good recommendations. You want to get to know people who are doing your classes. That your child needs to get to know them and develop relationships outside your family so they get those very important recommendation letters. And they want to be involved in extracurricular activities. Extracurricular activities are very important. Volunteer work, clubs, 4-H, it can be in the context of your homeschool group, it can be out in the community, but they want to do things beyond just study in high school. Now, but how do you get it done? Start at 12th grade and work backwards. Look at your prerequisites, especially in math and science. It's very important to plan well because you can't do AP chemistry before you've done regular chemistry. You can't do Algebra 2 before you've done Algebra 1. And so you want to say, where do I want to end up in 12th grade? Plug those classes. And you're going to have some blanks to fill in, but plug in the ones that have prerequisites and the things you know. Work backwards. Start making a little chart so that you know what you want them to take in the 9th grade. Now, how do you know how much credit to give? Well, the easiest way is just do a textbook score. That's the most obvious way. You have a math textbook. When you finish it, that's one high school credit, okay? Now, if you do that, you will get a much better education and a much more thorough education in that subject than in most schools, because most schools never finish a textbook. In fact, it's estimated in North Carolina they usually get through about two-thirds to three-fourths of the textbooks. And so, if you get through to the end, that's a fantastic thing. Another thing to do is you can look at syllabuses online. You can look at lots of high school teachers post their syllabuses, and so you can kind of see, what are they doing for this course I'm interested in teaching? Am I requiring about the same amount of work? Okay, then I can probably give them credit for that. Performance classes like band or course are usually half credit. College work, like not remedial, not high school level, but if they're taking a high school calculus course or something like that that's really hot, college level, they're taking a college calculus course, then one semester is going to count for one whole high school credit because college courses are about twice the speed of high school classes. Now, be aware of that. It's mighty hard to step into a college calculus class because it moves twice as fast as a high school calculus class. So be aware of that and be very cautious, not if you do dual enrollment, not to start them in difficult courses until they've gotten their feet under them. Okay? How do you grade? It feels weird giving your own child a grade sometimes, but you've got to look at it objectively. You know what excellent work is. You know what good work is. You know what, that's all right. And you know when it stinks, right? Well, that's A, B, C, D, right? And F is when you didn't even try, okay? And so, some options you can give them: the tests that come in teacher's manuals. I recommend that you get those tests. Math and science is very easy. Give them a test. Grade the lab notebooks. That's very easy and obvious. What if you're doing an unusual course like grade books? Well, decide what you would like to see them accomplish and see that they accomplish it. Papers, projects, performances, presentations, all those things can be the basis of a grade. And I'll tell you what, when you fill out your homeschool supplement when you're applying to college and you explain your grading system, that looks really great too. Because you didn't just rely on a bunch of workbook sheets. But you are grading, you know, their whole milieu of what they're doing, okay? Now, and I do encourage you to give grades in high school. You don't have to. There are kids that have gotten into college without grades. But you will exclude yourself from some scholarships if you do that, because there are lots of scholarships that require a GPA. And so I encourage you to give grades. But what about the course you hated? What about the course that was your bugaboo in high school or college? The one that you just, your hair on the back of your neck stands up when you think about it, and you remember this mean lady, and you just feel kind of scared inside. Yeah, does everybody have something like that that just gives them the creeps in high school? I did. Were all y'all were brilliant in high school? Okay, there's something that gives you the creeps, some course you're really scared of, right? Well, there's a lot of options. First of all, remember that you're bringing an adult's brain to it and you're unfogged by worrying about what shoes you have on and how cute the guy is in the next desk and what that girl's note says that the guy passed her. And you know, honestly, it's a lot easier this time through, a lot easier. And some of my subjects that gave me the creeps in high school are now my favorite subjects. I love history. Mm-hmm. I love economics. And they gave me the horrors when I was in high school. And so, you know, recognize that you've changed, you're more mature, you can handle it better, and you're less distracted. Also, there's a lot of help available. Tutors. You can exchange with another homeschooler. You know, you can barter. You know, I might be good at sciences, you might be good at literature. We can switch. I can say, I'll tutor your child in calculus if you'll clean my house. I'm not good at house cleaning. You know, you can switch these things around. You can pay tutors. You can pay local college students to tutor. It's a great thing to do. Also, there are tons of video and DVD courses that will explain things in great detail to your children. Very easy. Some fantastic ones in math and science. Co-ops, your homeschool group, very common for like high school labs. Online courses. You know, we did several AP classes online through Pennsylvania Homeschoolers. Very profitable. In fact, you know, I really think the quality of his AP class was as good, if not better, than the AP classes I had in North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics. And so, you know, they're top notch. You can do AP classes, other classes online. You can do AP courses on your own. We did quite a few of those. There's a link to College Board on the paper I handed out. But AP Central at College Board has syllabuses that you can copy to teach AP classes, textbook recommendations, essay questions you can give them with the answers and with sample student answers and how they were graded. I mean, wow, it's a tremendous help to do that. And it's available to anyone out there. Now, if you're going to put AP on your transcript, though, you have to go through the AP course audit. That sounds really scary that you're going to audit my course. What it means is that you have to submit a syllabus to AP and have them approve your syllabus.
How do you go about doing that?
It's really easy. You go to apcentral.collegeboard.com, and I think that's on there somewhere. And
you can get a handout.
On what?
Okay, there's some handouts over here. And if we run out, I'll be glad to give you my email address, and you can email me. I'll email you a copy. But and it says sign into the course audit. You sign into the course audit, and it says establish a homeschool account. Click that. It walks you through it.
Okay.
And there are some courses it is harder to get approved in, and others, some of the more politically correct courses, are you have to really get every jot and tittle of their requirement. But you know what? They give you three chances, and when they send it back to you, if it's not what they want, they tell you exactly what to change. And so you can do it. I've had 11 courses approved, so you can do it. Okay?
I read something about there's some controversy about Christian publishers.
There's a lot of controversy. Generally, the only course you're going to have issues with is biology. The biology AP course audit is having some severe problems.
So if you tell them you're using Bob Jones, they're going to say that's not a biology course.
It depends on who reads it.
Okay.
And so you can try, and then if you get it back, you can choose a different book for your main book. We use two books in AP biology. We use a secular text and a Christian text because I want my child to see both perspectives,
right,
and be able to deal with both perspectives. And so, you know, you can get through it.
And
I got through it.
You pass the biology with that by choosing a secular book and then Bob Jones.
Yeah, or whatever, uh-huh, Christian book.
So
but
so
let's hold questions, because I got a
I'm sorry.
Fire hose of information to give you. And I'll be here for 30 minutes between the sessions. I'm doing another session right after this, so I'll be here for 30 minutes to answer your questions, but she's got to let me eat while we talk because my blood sugar's low. Okay. Now, you can also do dual enrollment, and that's where a child takes a course at a college or university and gets both high school and college credit for it. Now, this is free at the community college. The books are not free. The tuition is free. If you do it at a university, you do have to pay tuition, but there's some advantages to that too because you get really cool teaching, you know. But dual enrollment is very common in our area. Now, we did not do dual enrollment because we have a family business and we travel a lot. We spend 3 weeks in China and, you know, do all kinds of crazy things. And I didn't want to be stuck to their schedule. So we chose to go the AP route. AP gives you college credit. Taking dual enrollment gives you college credit. You can do either one or both or a mixture. It's fine. But there's tons of help you can get. Don't panic. And, you know, for a basic college curriculum, a basic high school curriculum, if your child is planning to enlist in the military or start their own business after high school, you're not going to need to worry about a lot of this stuff. But you need to know about it because your next child may. Okay? Or that child may change his mind, may wake up intellectually at 15, you know? So you need to know about these things. You also need to engage your child in planning. Teach them how you plan a year at this age. You know, how you divide the amount of work you need to get through by weeks, and show them how you plan a week, how you look forward on your calendar to see what's happening that week. Oh, well, we've got a doctor's appointment that day, a field trip another day, so we're going to plan those days light. Teach them how to plan because you're going to start handing the planning over to them. Start with the day. This is your assignment, what you need to accomplish today. Show me what your plan is for getting it done. And then work up to a week. Okay, this is what I want you to accomplish this week. I want you to turn in to me how you're going to do that. Because you want to work towards self-teaching. Because you want to create independent learners. You want to create people who are comfortable taking a book and learning from it. Because if you do that, there is no limit to what your child can do or what they can learn. And in a lot of college courses, that's the way they're going to have to teach themselves. You know, some college instructors are brilliant but terrible at expressing the knowledge to you. You know, their talents are in the lab, and if you work beside them in the lab, you'll learn tremendous things. But in the classroom, you got to dig it out for yourself. Others will be brilliant teachers. You know, you need to teach your child to cope no matter what happens, and you do that by becoming self-teaching, by becoming where they can handle it themselves. Don't feel guilty because your child is teaching themselves most of the things they need to know in high school. At that point, you're their educational consultant. You're their helper. You're their resource. You help them find help. What if you don't know the answer? Well, then show them how to find it. You know, get the answer books. Get the solutions manuals. Look, now one of my friends who's a vendor told me that she sells very few solutions manuals because they cost $20 or $30. And the teacher said, well, the mom said, okay, I've got the textbook, and I've got the book with the test and the answers to the problems. Well, I don't need to spend the extra money for the solutions manual. Foolish. Foolish, 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 foolish. Because let me tell you something. When you open that solutions manual, it tells you how to work the problem. You will seem brilliant. So your child says, Mom, I just can't do this. I don't understand it. I don't know why you're making me do this. And you say, no. You look in the manual and it says, do this first, do this second. You say, well, son, the problem is you didn't do this second. You know, solutions manuals are so cool and so worth the money. There are things to save money on and there are things not to. Don't save money on not getting the solutions manual. Okay? You want to tie what they're doing. Now, you want to check up on them, especially if you're starting homeschooling in high school. Because they are very unused to any independence. And they're going to blow it big time. Because they're not used to working because I want to learn. And that's why you have the responsibility talk. Where do you want to end up in your life, son? Well, I want to be an aeronautical engineer. Great, son. Well, you do understand that to do that, you've got to have these advanced courses. And I cannot drag you through those courses. I can drag you through Algebra 1. I can't drag you through calculus. And so if you want to end up there, you've got to be a man and take responsibility and get there. And when they really understand that, they start changing. And they understand it's their life. They goof it up, it's their life they goofed up. I remember when my friend's, her son said, he was in school, in a school in Louisiana, and he said, she told him to do his math. He was a sixth grader. And he said, I can't, I don't have my multiplication table. She said, what are you talking about? She said, I don't have my multiplication table. She said, is it in your head? He said, my teacher told me I was too smart to memorize things. And she said, what do you want to do with your life? He said, I want to go to Notre Dame and study engineering. She said, son, we got to think this through. Because you know what? They don't let you take a multiplication table into the SAT. You know, you've got to know how this stuff works to do algebra, to do calculus. And so you've got to give them some sense of responsibility to know that it's their life they're mucking up if they muck it up. And you got to check on them. And when you check on them and they goof it up, you got to ram back in and give them more supervision. And Ty, see, the biblical pattern is, he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. When they're responsible in a little bit, you give them more. The worldly picture is, you give endless freedom and no responsibility. The biblical freedom is you earn freedom through responsibility. And so tie their freedom to their responsibility. A child who does not have his schoolwork done should not be allowed to be on the computer. A child who does not fulfill his family responsibilities and do his chores should not be allowed to have family blessings like ice cream. You know? So you tie responsibilities in with freedoms. And they begin to realize that's the way that life is, because you know what, if you don't show up to work, you don't get a paycheck, do you? No. You know, so they need to learn this. And choose courses that lend themselves to self-study, like apology and science, Saxon math, that have a lot of explanation for the student and that speak directly to the student. The courses published for homeschoolers are fantastic because they're really aimed at self-learning. And that's a great thing for a kid to learn. And if they learn through an easy-to-learn textbook like that, then when they get to the college-level textbooks, whether that's in high school AP classes or when they get to college, they're gonna know how to open a textbook and learn from it. All right, and you know, which is something it took me a long time to learn. You know, I remember being in college and having textbooks I never opened. That's crazy. You know, for one thing, they're $150 sometimes. And make lists for them. Give them a list. What's your responsibility? This is your responsibility. Homeschool Tracker is a great program on the computer to help you develop these lists. If you have several more children coming, it's really useful because it saves all your syllabuses and everything for the future child. You just have to kind of point click to change it to the next child. And Beyond Courses. This is a time for learning to fly while you can still pick them up. Okay, jobs, driving. In North Carolina, homeschool kids can take driver's ed at the local high school free. You just call your high school and say, I want to talk to the driver's ed instructor. I'd recommend talking to some other homeschoolers in the area before you do that, because some driver's ed instructors are better than others, and some are better at controlling their classes than others, okay? But volunteering, they have freedom to follow their own passions. You know, they can take internships in the middle of the year. They can travel. John is a independent filmmaker, my oldest son, and so for his senior year, I gave him one whole credit, and I said, son, you have this much time, go ahead, make a film this year, I want to see something new, make us a new film. He's won awards at international film festivals, you know, and I just said, okay, go to it, have fun, this is your project, make it yours. You know, you have that ability to give them the freedom to follow their passions, to become who they were created to be, you know, to not to be fit into a hole that is meant to fit everybody pretty well. You know what I mean? And you know, our schools do a great job of doing that, but it's an awesome, incredible thing when you can say, make your own hole. You know? Make your own path, fit through it. And these years are just a fantastic, you want to use your freedom to prepare them for real life. To set them free to be adults as soon as they show themselves ready. You know, my son last year at 17 spent 3 months interning in China by himself. I mean, he lived with a man who spoke no English. He rode public transportation to work. 17 years old, by himself in a foreign country for 3 months. He did great! That's because we had been working toward his independence, working by responsibility, not freedom, by seeing how responsible he could be over the years, and he did a great job. And so, you know, the horizons are really limitless. These years are also a great opportunity to develop a lifelong relationship with your children. You know, everybody said, told me, when we have a large family, everybody told me, you wait till you get in high school, you're going to regret it. I loved high school with our children. We've had arguments. We had screaming. You know, these things happen. But we have a great relationship because we have pushed our children into independence and freedom as soon as they could handle it. They don't have a need to push away from us. In fact, sometimes they're clinging. They're saying, well, I don't know if I'm ready for this. We're saying, go ahead, you can do it. You can handle it. You know? And I think it takes some of that. When you are intentionally working toward their independence, their rightful independence, their strong, responsible, adult, Christian independence, then when you're working toward that, then they don't feel the need to push away from you so hard. And so I think we've had a great relationship. These are great years. Now, I know you're wondering, because everybody does, but how do I tell everybody else what I do? I'm really worried about these transcripts and all this stuff because, and you know, everybody is behind in a knot worried about this piece of paper that honestly won't take you but a couple hours to put together. And so stop panicking about it. That is really not the important part. The important part is the planning and the getting there. The transcript is just a reflection of what you're doing, put in a way that the college admissions officers and or the hiring officers at work can clearly understand what you've done. You know, it's describing things in a way that they're used to hearing it. And so it's really not hard. How do you tell everybody that's what I've done? Will they take me seriously? Can I sign my own transcript? Can I sign my own diploma? Yeah. You're the administrator of your private school in North Carolina. Legally, you're responsible. You sign the transcript, it's legal. You sign the diploma, it's legal. People say, well, how can that be? What if people make it up? You're not going to make it up, because that's your child's life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're the one that's going to have to support them if they can't handle things. You're the one whose heart's going to break when they're not prepared for what they need to do. They're, you know, that's not a concern. And the colleges have seen that. You know, the director of admissions at one of the colleges in North Carolina, one of the very well-respected colleges, told us that when he receives applications, he divides them in three piles. He puts them in the pile for the top colleges, the top high schools, the ones that offer IB programs and strong AP programs. The top was Chapel Hill High, you know, Cary Academy, and then the average North Carolina high schools, and then the high schools are really just kind of down in the dumps and, you know, offering a substandard education. He said he puts home schoolers in the top pile. Because he's seen, he followed him, he tracked him for years, he's seen that that's the results he's getting. Because nobody cares if your child gets an education more than you do. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, do you think anybody else out there is as worried about your child as you are? No. And that's why your transcript is trustworthy. It needs to be clear and simple in a way they can understand. You know, if you look, I gave you a sample transcript. Now, I gave you one for a kid who's applying to a selective college. Okay, because it only gets easier from there. I want you to see the hardest kind of transcript to do. And, you know, you can delete the things and not worry about the things that don't apply to you. And so, and if y'all want to sign up with some email addresses, you know, I'll be glad to send you. Let me tell you, my email address is youngfolder, YoungFolder. No spaces, no caps, @gmail.com. If you'll email me, I'll send you a copy of this transcript in Word so you can mess around with it. Okay? And make it your own. Make it look like your own. Mm-hmm. Okay? But you want to make sure it has the essentials. School name, student name, address. Usually a social security number. And the reason why that is you'd be surprised how many kids have your child's name. And you don't want your transcript in somebody else's folder. And I know I have privacy concerns, but let me tell you, when you're applying to college, you no longer have any privacy. They will know every penny you have spent and earned in the past several years. They'll have everyone's social security number. They'll know more about you than your mama does. So just give it up. Go ahead, put the social security number on there. It's hopeless. You want to have their expected graduation date. And the reason I put the anticipated in brackets there is before they graduate, you're going to put anticipated graduation day. After they graduate, you just put graduation day. Okay? Now, you want to organize, and the GPA is very important. And we'll talk about that in a second. You want to organize the courses either by chronological, which is what I did on this one, what courses they took in your freshman year, sophomore year, junior year. Or you could organize it by area. You could put, instead of years, you could put social studies courses, mathematics courses, science courses, language courses. Do whatever's advantageous to you, okay? If you have a child who didn't do as much one year for some reason, maybe they were sick or something, then the subject area organization may be much better for you. If you have a child who did a lot of high school work in eighth grade, a subject area organization may be better for you. You know, you do whatever's advantageous for your child. Okay, and you want to have grades or a statement of why you're not doing grades. And the signature of the administrator, and that little statement I put down there that you do certify and affirm is legalese that you need to have on there. Okay, HSLDA said that because that takes the place of putting a seal on it. Okay, and you can't copy the signature. The signature has to be new on every sheet. Okay. Some optional things put on the transcript. I put test scores on this transcript. That's totally optional. You do it if it's advantageous. If they have great test scores, you put the test scores on there. If they don't have great test scores, you leave test scores off. Now, you're going to have to send in the test scores to most colleges. Wake Forest, for example, you don't have to send in any. They've just changed it. You don't have to send in admissions test scores. But most colleges are going to have to send in test scores anyway, but you don't want to highlight it if it's not a highlight for your child, okay? I did mine in Word. It's really easy to do in Word. Word has a lot to help you with. And then once you get it complete, I recommend changing it over to a PDF. There's some free programs online you can change it to a PDF. So that way you can print them off really easy, okay? Because you're going to need a zillion copies of it. And the GPA calculations, I really recommend that you set up a file in Excel and you list all your courses in Excel and do that so that Excel can do the calculations, because you can do those calculations a million times and goof it up every time. Now, how do you calculate the GPA? Now, basic unweighted GPA, an A is 4, a B is 3, a C is 2, a D is 1. And you multiply the number of units, like 1 unit, times 4 if they got an A, that's worth 4 quality points, okay? And then you add all those up. If it's a half unit and they got an A, they get 2 points.
Could you say that last part again about the units multiplying? I'm sorry.
Okay. You take the grade they made, the score for the grade they made, A is 4,
okay,
you know, like that,
mm-hmm.
times the number of units, 1 unit or a half unit usually. Okay. And that equals the number of what they used to call quality points. You add up all those points and divide by the number of units. Okay. And that gives you, it's just an average grade. Okay. GPA means grade point average. It's your average grade. Now, it gets a little bit more complicated. In North Carolina, the public schools use a weighted GPA. Now, a lot of homeschool transcript people, I know some of them, my dear friends like Inga Cannon, recommend you don't weight your grades. However, she's from a different state than we are. In North Carolina, every single high school, private or public, weights their grades. So I recommend you weight your grades. And what I mean by that is that students get one extra point if they take an honors course, and 2 extra points if they make an AP course. So an A in an honors course is worth 5 points. A B is worth 4 points. In a AP course, an A is worth 6 points. A B is worth 5 points. That's why when you see in the paper when they list the valedictorian, someone will have 4.8, 5.1 GPAs. That's where that comes from. And you want to do that if you have honors and AP classes. Now, you know, if you're not aiming at college, you may not need to do that. You know, if your child does extra work in a course, give them honors credit. For example, we're using Jacob's Geometry. And Jacob's Geometry, in the first part, he says he gives 2 regular problem sets, and then he gives a small set 3, and he says, that's for gifted students or honor students. Well, I told my son Caleb, I said, son, if you do the majority of the set 3s, I'll give you honors credit for this course. Okay, and so he's really excited about that. He does all the set 3s because he wants to get honors credit. And so, you know, just honors means they did a little more, they did a little extra, they went a little deeper. Okay, if they're taking an economics class and they follow the textbook, but they read some economics books on the side, they read Milton Friedman or something on the side, give them the honors credit. You know, that honors means a little more. AP means college level. And you cannot call it AP on the transcript unless you have been through the AP course audit. It is illegal. Okay. Now, what do you do if they take a college-level course? Well, you can still give them the weighted score for an AP class. You can say AP or college-level course. And you can say community college such-and-such, or dual enrollment such-and-such, or college-level or advanced level. But you can't call it AP. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying here? Does that make sense, sort of? Feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah.
You'll get there. Okay. Now, I want to say something, and I'll take questions about that if you want in a few minutes. In addition to your transcript, it's very important that you develop a resume for your child. And that is going to list all of their awards and honors and the clubs they've been involved in, their extracurriculars, their volunteer work, their employment out in the community. And you're going to list that on a resume. You're going to put their name at the top and some identifying information. And you're going to say, like, honors and awards, and list those. And like what I did, John is really obsessive and has done a lot. And so we divided them kind of into sections. We said, you know, political extracurriculars, you know, filmmaking extracurriculars, and just listed them, you know, and to make it a little bit more understanding. Employment. Because there's some misconceptions about homeschoolers. A lot of people think that homeschoolers are just sitting around the kitchen table all day. I wish it'd be a lot easier to get schoolwork done. Okay, but they think we're sitting around the kitchen table and our kids don't know anybody else. And, you know, I see everybody laughing to yourself because, you know, really we have so much freedom. We tend to be on the go and out among people a lot more than kids who are in institutional schools. But you need to reflect that. You need to tell them in a way they can understand, okay? And that's what you use a resume for, you to show the well-roundedness of your child. Their athletic events, volunteer work. Volunteer work is expected in a college application, so make sure. And you know what? You gotta, okay, homeschoolers do so many things they don't even realize counts, you know? Your kids came early and helped set up this morning, or they came and set up tables yesterday. That's volunteer work. Okay, you're volunteering for a community organization. Did you know that? Okay. It took me a while to get that through my head, you know? And so make sure you keep a record of all that, because let me tell you something, you think you're going to remember all that. But when you get to fall of their senior year, you're going to be so stressed out, and you're not going to remember a thing they did in the junior year, much less sophomore year. Okay, and freshman, I don't even remember that year. Were we homeschooling then? Yeah, I mean, honestly, you've got to keep a record of this stuff as you go along, okay? Also recommend you keep a record of their reading, of their outside reading and their course readings, because some colleges will ask you for that, and that is incredibly hard to reconstruct as your senior year, okay? You also want to keep a record of just what textbooks you're using. I'm not talking about anything complicated. Open an Excel file and call it high school records, and do a sheet, and just every time you get a new book for high school, enter the name and author in. Okay, it's not, I'm not talking about anything really hard or complicated. Just keep track of it, because if you need it. We had one college, I think, ask for a list of the curricula that we could use, one or two. And, of course, I haven't kept that one. So I just stopped and think, okay, son, bring me your ninth grade U.S. government book. Mom, go find it. So, and heaven help you, you sold it. Try finding it on Amazon. You know, so you want to keep a track of this stuff. I want to just say one thing about financial planning. You need to find out about how financial aid works before your child's junior year. FinAid.com, I think it's .com, might be .org, FINAID. Yeah, but on this sheet, let me say. FinAid.org, okay, has some calculators where you can put in your income and your assets and everything and kind of see how it changes if you change different things, because financial aid for college is based on the year before your child goes to college. And there's some decisions you can make that can make a pretty big difference when you're on the borderline of getting aid and not getting aid, or getting a lot of aid and getting a little bit of aid. For example, you know, you may think, well, I'll just pay those bills next week. But that gives you a lot more assets. You might have $3,000 more assets that they see, they think is savings available to pay for college, when really it's going to pay your mortgage and your light bill and all that. So you need to know, when it comes time to set that sample year that they're going to look at, when do you pay those bills? You know what I mean? You know, don't cheat. Cheat, you go to jail sometimes, okay? Don't cheat. But be wise. You know, make sure you give them a true picture where you are financially. You need to do that before their junior year. Now, the funny thing is, as I said, everybody worries about documentation when that's really one of the easiest parts. The hard part is the planning, getting it done. These years fly by so incredibly fast. I mean, it seems like just yesterday that John was just a little meatloaf on my chest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now he's this great big guy and he's leaving home next month. It goes by so quickly. And, you know, it's easy to get scared and think you'll just punt and let somebody else handle these years. But these years are so precious and so dear. And I would not give up these past 4 years with my son for anything. And so I just encourage you to use these years wisely. You know, to take off, do what you need to do, put the energy into it you need to, recognize what's important and what's not. Use them to prepare your child not only for the next step, but for the rest of their lives. What do you want to pass down to your child? What have you not told them yet about life? You know, what legacy do you want them to take out of your home? Now is the time to think about that. Now is the time to consider that, to pray about it, because honestly, life will go by so fast. It's not going to get any less stressful these next 4 years. There's going to be job losses. There's going to be... Could you shut the door, please? There's going to be times that you are just barely getting the schoolwork done. You do not want to fail to plan and have these years get by you without accomplishing what you need to do. Because this is the time to start an education that will serve them well the rest of their lives. And I'm so encouraged to see all of you here. Because I think what you're doing is really exciting and really neat. I think you're going to be so glad you did it. And you know, it pays off. It really does. I was so scared when we started all this 14 years ago. And you know, I was so scared 4 years ago when I realized, oh my word, you know, we're starting a new business. We're not going to have any money to send our child to school. We're spending it all on starting this business. What am I going to do? Well, we gave him a scholarship. Gave him a full scholarship. And you know, you can get there. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will stand in the gap when you can't do anymore. He'll see that it happens. He'll restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. If you're just starting out and you're thinking, why didn't I do this a few years ago? Look at what, you know, look at the deficit we've got to make up. But you've got to just throw yourself into it wholeheartedly and be obedient. And I think you're going to do a great job. And I think you're going to be so happy you did it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hal and Melanie Young are the parents of 8, including 6 boys ages 8 to adult and 2 girls. Their book, Raising Real Men, Surviving, Teaching, and Appreciating Boys, is a practical guide to reaching the hearts and minds of boys without breaking or losing your own. To read a sample chapter or to order your copy, visit the website at www.raisingrealmen.com. This is a copyrighted recording. For additional copies or licensing information, contact us at info@greatwaterspress.com. Our theme music is The Mysterious Barricades by Francois Couperin. The performance is provided by amclassical.com. Thank you and God bless you for listening.